shot.
What's up, combies? I'm Hannah.
And I'm Olivia.
And it's time
to kombuchat.
All right. Another week. Damn.
In the books.
Wow, what about it?
We're just flying through life, aren't we?
We really are. Flying through life, flying through episodes. It's all happening. So, anything to report from the week?
Ooh, let's see. I got a sweatsuit, finally.
We talked about that on an earlier episode, how we were wanting some sweatsuits.
And I have finally found one that fits. It's tie-dye. I'm so comfy.
That's some good self-care right there.
I know. It's so good. What about you?
You know, it's been busy, but I'm really excited to chat with our guest today. We are going to be talking about therapy, psychotherapy, talk therapy. You know, they're all focused on working on skills to think about, cope with, work through anything from diagnosed depression to everyday problems. We should probably include a disclaimer here. Neither of us are therapists in any way.
Nor is our guest.
But we wanted to talk about taking care of yourself first, fostering a relationship next. You want to tell us a little bit about our guest?
Oh, this is one of my favorite people, y'all. So, our guest today is Blake Kevin Dwyer. I met him in college. I now work for him. He is an associate at a talent management company, as well as an actor, a singer, a comedian. I mean, he does it all.
He's one talented individual, as all of our guests really are. So I think, you know, when kind of spoke with him, we talked about how coronavirus has changed the way people might attend therapy. And this is a topic close to him that he kind of wanted to, you know, educate our listeners on more. There's a lot of options with different advertisements popping up online about chatting or over the phone, video calls, text lines, all different therapeutic options during this time. And yeah, so he kind of wanted to dive in with us there.
And then to the way that going to therapy and taking care of yourself first can foster relationships with other people, be that a romantic partner, a family member, it kind of all goes hand in hand. I think just as therapy has changed in becoming potentially more accessible during the coronavirus, relationships with others have changed too, whether you're sticking to a small bubble, a family unit, a certain group of friends. The dating world has definitely changed, whether people feel comfortable enough to go out on app dates, whether they have moved in with their partner to create that small bubble. And I think also dealing with this shared or similar trauma of the coronavirus and how that's impacted everyone's lives in different ways, dealing with that.
Yeah, relationships during COVID. Wow, let's start there, combis.
Oh, let's get personal. I got a lot to tell.
let's start with the fact that I feel like my timeline on socials over the past 1 year has been a lot of breakups, a lot of engagements, and a lot of announcements of children being born.
Oh no, people are busy, y'all.
People have been busy. But the thing about COVID is it really has, I mean, you know, like you're saying, if you are in a relationship and you have been spending a lot of time with that person because of quarantine and not being able to see others, or maybe working from home and so does your partner, or whatever the case may be, I think, you know, maybe one of the positive things that will come out of the pandemic is the fact that people have had to decide what they want to do with their time, who they want to spend it with, I think a lot of people have had to force themselves to do some internal work and thinking. And that's certainly affected, I'm sure, people's decisions and what sort of relationships that they want to be in.
Definitely. And having all of those introspective talks with yourself or having those talks with people close to you, it's very healthy, I think, to have that line of communication. But I also think it's very healthy to talk to someone outside of that bubble that is a trained, certified professional and can help you navigate those situations that you don't always need to be putting on your partner's shoulders, your friend's shoulders. I think there's a balance in relating to one another, having clear communicative talks, and also seeking help in a professional way.
Definitely. Hopefully, you know, a lot of people who have had any sort of, you know, time during the pandemic where they've wanted to reach out have been able to find the resource that they needed with everything transitioning online, like we've said. If not, then this might be a good episode for you to listen to, you know, opportunities to do that, which Blake will touch on. In general, we kind of, you know, we're big supporters of doing internal work, doing reflection practices, doing self-care. Of course, we're all about the hustle when it comes to, you know, being motivated in things we want to do and doing them and executing. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of importance in seeking therapy, doing internal work, keeping a journal, you know, and really taking a look at your relationships and what they look like with family and friends and significant others and how you want them to look. Maybe they haven't looked how you wanted over the past year and that's forced you to make some tough decisions.
Ghost people. I mean, maybe.
Or that. Oh, yes.
I've been clicking mute on social media, you know? Sometimes you gotta click mute.
Ooh, sometimes you do gotta click mute.
Do what's right for you.
Absolutely. Yeah, I feel like that can be a big criticism that people our age and younger get. It's like, oh, it's, you know, you all just want to like press block or press mute and not have to like face your problems. I don't know. I feel like I've like read stuff about this in Vice and other places. Like,
yeah,
it is so different, right? Because people really used to have to just maybe interact with people that they didn't want to in some way before social media. But social media gives you so many decisions on how you do want to curate online relationships, and sometimes that means muting.
Sometimes you gotta declutter your feed.
Yeah, and I really don't see that as a bad thing. I guess the way I would see it as a bad thing is if you're choosing to do that in a way that's really closed-minded, where you're choosing to do it so that you don't have to hear people who think differently from you. I do think echo chambers and social media can be a really dangerous thing. But I think when it comes to your mental health, you should make the decisions that are right for you. And that can mean, you know, curating those feeds accordingly.
But don't mute us because we love you.
Always. So I guess we'll go ahead and get started.
Let's do it.
All right. Blake, welcome.
Oh my goodness. Thank you. Hello, hello.
Yes, we're so excited to have you here today.
Thank you so much for having me. Big fan. Big fan of not just the podcast, but also kombucha as a consumer of the liquid.
Oh, good.
We love to hear this. So as we briefed our guests, we're talking about therapy today. We're talking about love. So I guess the first place that I want to start is kind of where I dove into finding therapy. I actually started attending the free therapy offered by LMU over the summer when I was heading into my senior year. I generally felt like I needed some direction, needed an outlet, needed some guidance, and that was kind of my first experience with professional talk therapy. So I guess my first question is, when do you know it's time to reach out for professional help versus when you can just talk to maybe a close friend or a mentor about it?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I'll preface this by saying I am not a therapist or a psychologist or a psychiatrist, but I started doing therapy when I was 9, 10.
Okay.
I had anger management issues as a kid, and that's what brought me to therapy. I'm also gay, and definitely as a queer child, there is a lot going on in your mind with what's going on with your body. You're confused. And so I started therapy from a very young age with a multitude of things I felt I didn't know how to express about myself and I needed an outlet for. And so I think that, first of all, this pandemic is a trauma. We've all experienced a huge trauma over the last year, year and a half. And so I don't think there's a single person who doesn't need therapy right now. I think therapy is a all the time kind of thing. There's never a bad time to be in therapy. And I think that with what we've all experienced and how the world has also changed in terms of accessibility of therapy, whether it's over the phone, video chat, slowly back to in person, there's so much access that I really don't think there's ever a bad time to be in therapy.
Yeah, that's good to know, because I think sometimes people think maybe like one incident has to happen or one problem needs to be solved in order to benefit from therapy, when in reality, I think it's a lot more than that.
Yeah, totally. And I think we've all lived such crazy, kooky lives with so many stories and so many things have happened to us that you can start when you're 12, but you have 12 years of experience that you haven't maybe talked about in a professional instance and way. And so it's not just a matter of what you're going through in that moment. It's everything that's led up to that point and how you've gotten there that's also important to talk about and bring up with someone.
Definitely. And all that to say that, you know, if you are someone who did experience some sort of recent trauma or event that has you, you know, considering, it's still a good time for you. It's always a good time.
I like to think of therapy as a release for not just myself, but for my support group, for my friends, for my boyfriend, for my parents. I am taking it upon myself to speak with someone who doesn't know me outside of what I tell them in therapy. I'm giving myself a safe space. And I'm also removing a bit of that, you know, stress or strain or need that I've relied on my parents for a very long time. I rely on my boyfriend for a very long time. It's not just healthy for me. It's very healthy for my relationship with my boyfriend to be able to talk about my problems with him, with someone else in a constructive way, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And having, I guess, that healthy mindset for yourself and like tools for yourself so that when you do enter maybe a tense situation, you have that to help handle it.
Especially when I was young, it was all about like tricks when I get upset, like count to 10 and go to your room, separate yourself from the problem. Like there were all these tricks I learned when I was really young that definitely like carried into my life in very different ways, not just the matter of like count to 10 and breathe and all that kind of stuff, but really just like knowing my surroundings and knowing how I react. Because you never talk about yourself and the way you react to things based on someone else's question. And that may have sounded confusing, but the way a therapist phrases a question is not how you would phrase it to yourself, right?
Mm.
So I'm not going to phrase to myself, like, why am I reacting this way? Here's how I'm reacting. But if a therapist says it in a certain way, it's a different perspective and a different way of looking at it that I probably wouldn't have seen myself. And probably my friends or my parents probably wouldn't have asked the same way either. So you're getting this kind of separate perspective and angle into your own experience that allows for you to answer questions in a way where you're like, Oh, yeah, I never thought about that, even though we're talking about me and how I react to things, you know?
That kind of gets me on the question of how do you know when you have found the right therapist? Because I feel like, you know, so many people have had experiences where maybe even the way those questions were asked triggered them, or they weren't finding it constructive, or, you know, whatever. There have been a lot of different experiences for people, right? So how do you know when you've kind of made that connection? You're like, wow, this is the right therapist for me.
Yeah. So in my lifetime, I've had upwards of 10 therapists. So, and by that, I mean like people who I've gone to more than once. But the number of therapists who I've probably gone to once or had an initial conversation with is closer to 20 to 25 in my lifetime.
Okay.
You got to date. Like, it is like dating. You cannot just like meet a therapist and go, you're the right one for me. You got to take the phone calls. You got to take the initial meetings because you never know. And although they've all been trained in a very similar way, they all have to be certified and go through the educational system to become a therapist. Every experience is different. And my current therapist is a gay male, but I started with a straight female. And like, I think that we change over time and each therapist can give us kind of different things and tools to use. And we outgrow our therapists and we outgrow the experience, or we think we wanted one thing, but really we needed something else in that moment. And so I view therapy as dating. Like, you're not going to be with the same one for your entire life. If you find one that's that amazing and great, hold on to it. Hold on to it tight and like keep working on it. But I think there's definitely a beginning, middle, and end with most relationships with therapists. And I think that it's important to know that just because you had that initial meeting doesn't mean that that's the right person for you. Do at least three when you're starting out. Take at least three meetings to be able to compare and contrast.
I think that's great, especially if people are feeling like therapy isn't quote unquote working for them, or maybe they feel that they have plateaued with a certain therapist. Being able to look at that not as therapy isn't right for me, but maybe this therapist isn't right for me right now.
A perfect example of that is I restarted therapy after I graduated college. For like the third time in my life, I was relying quite heavily on my parents for support. Like, not only was I just graduated, I was a theater major. Like, I didn't have a job. Like, you know, there were a lot of new moments and chapters going on in my life at the time. And my parents were kind of like, I really do think you need a therapist. And so what that therapist did for me in that moment was create a stable environment for me to understand how much change was going to happen in that year and how much change I had been going through. And that it was the first time in my life that I was really by myself, that I really didn't have structure. I didn't have school. And that led to me reaching a point where I was able to like accept and have a boyfriend, to be ready to like accept love and have love. And when the pandemic hit, I had my boyfriend. I was in a really solid place, and my therapist was a little bit older and not really ready to do some online work, and my relationship with him ended. And it wasn't until a little bit later in the pandemic that I was like, you know what, I need a new therapist. And I went through four before I found the one I'm currently with now, who I've been with for about 4 months.
That's such a good example. I feel like that's really going to help people understand that, you know, you really do have to put yourself out there in some ways. I know I see a lot of memes and stuff like, I don't want to have to tell someone my life story over and over. You know, what do you have to help with that?
I think it's really interesting, right? Because it's almost like a job interview, especially at the start, because you are projecting to them how you view yourself. Mm-hmm. They're like taking it in and trying to formulate an opinion or formulate what they think might need to be worked on. But like, you're really presenting what goals and how you're feeling about yourself and the way you view yourself. I found through doing that with multiple people, what stuck and I repeated multiple times versus what changed when I kept kind of talking about myself and being like, when was the last time I introduced myself and was told like, go ahead, How do you identify? Who are you? Like, what's your life? What's the problem? Because when you do that, when you like start at the very basic beginning of just like analyzing your own life and yourself, ooh, honey, you're going to discover some stuff. You are going to discover some stuff. So I think it's great. And I think it's really helpful.
Yeah, it sounds like you take a very active stance on it that I don't think everyone might think about, like going into it with a goal or going into it with something that you already know, like you want to get X out of Y. And that I think is a really interesting point.
One of the things I express to my therapist now is that I want to leave every session feeling like I have something to work on. And not all therapists work that way. That's a very specific thing to ask for, because a lot of people just want to be able to vent, get all their stuff out, and not even really get a lot of opinions or questions or whatever it might be. And I haven't always been that way, but I realized what I needed was tangible exercises, tangible thought processes to take with me for the week and try and apply it. And whether I was successful or not, that's not the point. The point was, that's what I wanted and I needed. And that therapist was able to give that to me at that time. And so like, that's what I'm working on right now.
You mentioned that seeing this therapist after college really prepared you to be in a relationship, take care of yourself first, take care of someone else when you were ready. Tell us a little bit more about how having that healthy mindset impacted you to be strong and comfortable and ready for a relationship.
So that was like a 2-year process. And I have to say that was definitely one of those examples where it's like, you start to talk about past things and you don't realize what the past has done to you and how it's affected you and put you where you are today. And so I hadn't realized that I had been through a very traumatic experience in terms of love and in terms of relationship with people who were abusive to me. I wasn't aware that the power dynamic of our situation had impacted me in such a way that it warped my view and opinion of my own self-worth and value, as well as what I wanted in a partner and what I thought I needed in life. And forever, I just like wanted someone. It didn't matter who it was. It was just like, I just need someone, right? Like, I need someone near me to call mine and them to call me theirs and to bring home to Christmas. Like, that's what I needed.
A holiday. You
know? A holiday. Yes. But it wasn't until I was able to unpack a lot of that previous trauma and understand what I had gone through was not my fault.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't on me. And I had to understand that and recover from that before I could like accept love from another person and be open to giving love to another person.
Mm-hmm.
In the way that I have with my current boyfriend, Peter, who's my boyfriend. Not that I'm looking for another one in the future, but with Peter, who I love very, very much and have had such an amazing journey with, and the way in which we've fallen in love, nowhere near anything I thought it would be. It happened the way it shouldn't have. And in your mind, you know, you meet someone and they turn around and their hair is in the wind and you're like, oh my God, a moment, like fall in love, right?
Yeah.
Peter and I met at a gay kickball tournament. We hooked up the first night we met and then thought we were never going to talk to each other again.
Oh my gosh.
Like completely different than what I thought I was looking for, or it needed to be in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
It was so much better. It was so much better because I was ready for it.
That's amazing. First of all, thank you for being vulnerable and sharing that, because I think it's really valuable for people to hear. I think what stands out to me is that you had that discovery process with a therapist where you were starting to realize those instances from your past, and then you touched on having a healing process before you were ready for that. I think that's really good to think about, that it might take a lot of time in some instances, first of all, to realize what may be holding you back or influencing you, and then to merge your way into recovering, building up strength, building up trust, building up vulnerability even.
I think in the entertainment industry, right, it's a 10-year long game. Like, you just got to keep going and you can't stop, and just time. It just takes time.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's not what anyone wants to hear. Everyone wants to like have one audition, book it, become like a huge success. And that would be great. But it's the same with therapy, love, life. It's the same with all these things. Like, it just takes time. And as much as you want it to go by quickly, like, it just can't. Like, you have to let yourself have the time to heal, to process, to understand, and to just go through the motions of it. Because without it, I don't think we grow as much as people. And although time makes it feel like we're not growing as quickly, when I look back 3-4 years ago, like, I'm like, ooh, wow.
Yeah.
Like, wow. What a change I've had in my own perspective of myself and my own view of who I am. And yeah, I love it. I love therapy. I love being able to talk about myself critically and analytically, and looking back on it makes me really proud and happy.
Well, our final question for you in this segment is, what's your favorite kombucha flavor?
Dragon fruit. It's dragon fruit something, and it's earth. Oh my God. This is so sad, right? I'm like, I love kombucha. Can I remember the name of it? Nope. Can I remember the flavor? Nope. The company also has Apple Crisp is one of the names of the flavors. It's earth balance, earth something. Dragon fruit. Final answer is dragon fruit.
Accepted.
I love dragon fruit.
We're going to have to look for this one because I have not tried it.
All right. Sweet and spicy time. One of our favorite parts of every episode, getting to ask our guests a sweet or spicy question. Olivia, take it away.
Blake, sweet or spicy?
Oh, sweet. Sweet, sweet, sweet. I know. I feel like it's a very vanilla answer, but I'm a sweet kind of guy. I feel like I give off sweet energy. I like sweet things. I don't like spicy things. I like to think I like spicy people, but for the most part, I'm not great with spicy. I'm very type A kind of individual. So I'm going to strongly say sweet.
Okay. You're in a gas station on a 36-hour road trip. This is the only gas station you will be able to go to that has food. You have 1 minute to grab the snacks and drinks you want. What are you grabbing?
I'm grabbing Chex Mix. I'm grabbing the Starbucks drinks that are in the containers that are in the fridge, the like Frappuccino,
yes,
Premixed, whatever it might be.
My man.
I'm definitely grabbing some Cheetos. I'm grabbing every candy bar I can get my hands on, mostly specifically like Starburst, Skittles. I like fruity things. If there are any Airheads, I'm going to grab them. I already said Chex Mix, but I'm going to grab another bag of Chex Mix and Goldfish. And then they also put Oreos in those rectangular long tubes. I'd grab one of those and a Slurpee.
I love it.
Wow. Wow.
A feast. And you're so fast.
I don't know if that was a minute, but I decided to take it as I needed to say it in a minute.
Honestly, that made it better.
I was on the edge of my seat.
Me too. What is he gonna say next?
I do love that you consider Starburst a candy bar.
Yeah, I mean, like, it is in the shape of a bar, and like, it's in the candy section, you know?
I will forever think of it that way.
I mean, I walked right past the sunflower seeds. You know, I saw the Takis. Like, I am visualizing me in a gas station. And I'm like, no. I need to get what I need to get. It's going to happen. We're going to go.
Okay. What do we got today?
Today, we have a rowdy mermaid. We've talked a little bit about them.
Yeah, Colorado brand previously.
Delicious in a can.
And today's flavor is the Calm Alpine Lavender.
Zen me out.
With lavender and elderflower.
Wow.
Okay, so, you know, as far as branding goes, we've discussed them before. Very clean look. This one's got a purple mermaid fin on it for the lavender. It's cute.
Super cute.
And sugar content on this, 9 grams a can. That's low.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
That is low.
I just noticed they have a cute little recycling phrase. Take me somewhere wild, return me somewhere responsible.
Oh my god, I will.
I love that.
That's adorable.
Okay, shall we give it a go?
Let's do it.
That little pop top.
I love that pop top. Okay, so off the bat, kind of clear, almost looks like champagne colored.
It does.
Right?
We,
and bubbly.
We like that.
I love champ. Ooh, smell that.
Oh, it's got a floral, nice floral.
Elderflower, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Elderflower. That definitely comes off. So a very nice, sweet, crisp smell.
Mm-hmm.
Not much sediment, clear.
Very flavorful.
And kind of a lot of flavors happening here.
Yeah.
From start to finish.
I'm going back
in. It's one of those.
I don't really know what I'm tasting, but I do like it.
I get a floral start and finish, and I'm not really sure what happens in the middle.
Something almost sour.
I could see that, but in a good way.
Yeah, exactly. Not where you're like, yeah, like, yeah, with your mouth, you know?
Yeah.
Where you gotta make a fish face. It's not like that.
Right.
I dig it.
I really like it. I would do... Oh, the other thing I want to say about this, it's very light.
That's true. Kind of light, refreshing, crisp, as you mentioned, even with the scent.
Yeah, the other day I realized we hadn't talked much about whether or not they feel light or heavy, and this one is very light, which I like.
I can imagine sipping this for the day and just feeling, like, refreshed.
Yeah, the zen, mm-hmm. like you kind of said at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It fits. So 4 out of 5 for me. You?
Yeah, I would go 4 out of 5. I think that's accurate.
All right. So there you have it, folks. The Rowdy Mermaid Calm Alpine Lavender.
Special thanks to Gold Threads Audio for music and audio production. Check out goldthreadsaudio.com for all your podcast, music, and sound needs. It's actually a really cool website. This has been an On the Run Media production. All reviews are strictly independent opinions of our hosts and guests. Make sure to like, review, comment, and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And let us know your favorite part of the episode in the comments and on the gram. I'm at Blonde on the Run.
I'm at Olivia.
We'll see you next time, combies.
Bye.